All right, and welcome to the itinerary section. As customary, I'm going to give you a quick hint as to which country our random country generator has picked for our itinerary. So, the name of today's country, let's go letters. It includes, it's got an N, it's got an A, it's got a U, it's got an R, and let's give you one more. It's got another U, so two U's, right. So, right now, maybe you're thinking Australia, but that would be ridiculous. There's no N in Australia. There's only one U in Australia. You might think Nicaragua, but sadly, Nicaragua only has one U in it as well. If you thought Antigua and Barbuda, then congratulations. You've got an almost creepy knowledge of geography and an even creepier superpower for anagrams. But you've clearly overthought this. As a country whose name contains the letters N, A, U, R, and U is, of course, Nauru. Now, you may be thinking, there's no country called Nauru. And in a way, you'd be right. There isn't a country called Nauru. However, I suppose we do a little explaining here. Our list of countries of the world also contains independent states, republics, and dependencies. So, sit back, relax, and get real comfy, as whilst you thought this podcast was going to give you the guys to the big boy countries on this planet like Russia and America, you now know you'll be getting very useless travel advice on dependencies such as Pitcairn Islands, Reunion, and the Isle of Man. Hey, you know what? We're even going to include partially recognised republics, so while you more might be downloading this podcast, desperately hoping for some advice about the best things to do in tourist hotspots like Paris or Barcelona, you'll actually get some wholly unsolicited travel advice about what to do on a mini break in Abkhazia, South Ossetia, and my personal favourite, Transnistria. But that's all for another day. Today is Nauru's day. Alright, here we go, the basics. Nauru is a very, very, very small island in the Pacific Ocean. It's nearest to the Marshall Islands and the Federated States of Micronesia. If that doesn't work for you, then it's about 2,600 kilometres east of Papua New Guinea. If that doesn't work for you, then basically it's somewhere between Australia and Hawaii. But it is very small. At 21 square kilometres, it is the smallest independent republic in the world. So some things you may not know about Nauru. Nauru was, for a short period, the richest country in the third world. It's at one point, its income was the second highest per capita in the world after Saudi Arabia. Why? Well, because of bird poo. Specifically, seabird stall known as guano. Now, the island was covered in it, and it was incredibly fertile and one of the richest phosphate reserves in the world. Its economy boomed. It even built a train line from the mine to the port, and the island's biggest company, the Nauru Phosphate Corporation, led the island's drive to affluence. But sadly, this didn't last long. Firstly, the phosphates are now almost gone and definitely not economically viable to mine. It's led to unemployment on the island rising to the currently highest in the world at 90%. Not only that, the decision to mine the island meant that there's not enough space or fertile land left for farming, which means that all food in Nauru is imported, and generally speaking, it's processed and it's high in salt and high in sugar, and that's led to the island becoming the most obese country in the world. Over 95% of the population is obese, and 40% of the population suffer from diabetes. The death of the mining industry in Nauru has led to the country desperately seeking money and investment wherever it can. The island has sold citizenship to anyone willing to pay the price. It became a foreign tax haven. It got involved with international money laundering. It even became an offshore prison for Australia, who wanted to keep and process refugees offshore. During the Second World War, the island was occupied by the Japanese, who built a lot of the island's infrastructure, including its airfield. However, as a testament to how small and unknown it is, the American army actually forgot to liberate it as they pushed the Japanese forces back across the Pacific. In a very awkward moment, the Japanese commander on the island had to surrender to the Australians at the end of the Second World War when Japan itself surrendered. Nauru's story is a pretty sad one, especially for an island in the Pacific Ocean. I mean, it's an island that literally has never in its history recorded a day when it was colder than 20 degrees. It's surrounded by a coral reef. It has its own airline. It's really surprising to find out that Nauru is the least favourite tourist destination in the world. The island averages just 200 visitors a year. Now, to give you an idea of how terrible that is, Somalia currently gets about 500 visitors a year. Now, Somalia is a governmentless country in a brutal civil war that is ethnically cleansing its own people. I mean, come on, Afghanistan got 17,500 tourists last year. That's like the 10th least visited country in the world. So here we go. Today we're going to do our very best to give you a great itinerary visiting Nauru. Because you know what? Someone really should. All right, here we go. What's there to do in Nauru? Well, the island is surrounded by coral reef, but unlike many other islands and their reefs, Nauru's reef is very close to the shore. It actually makes swimming in the sea dangerous because at low tide, the reef is actually at the surface of the water and can harm swimmers, especially if the waves are strong or maybe the tide is high and the waves drop. However, Anibar Beach is a safe beach and it's very pretty, sandy. It's lined with palm trees. It's a beach that obviously isn't going to be full of tourists, but the odds are you're probably going to get some unemployed people hanging around there. The reefs also make it difficult for large ships to visit the island, so sadly there's no cruise option to visit the island, but you can rent local boats and you can take them and book them out for charters to either go fishing or go on snorkeling and scuba diving trips. You can rent scuba diving and snorkeling equipment on the island to explore the reefs in like safe places, and to also to explore the there's an offshore shipwreck, but some people say it's advisable to bring your own equipment if you're flying from Australia. The shipwreck is a military ship from World War II, and it's one of the many relics on the island that are still in and around the island, including Japanese artillery and bunkers that were made there or left there after the end of the Second World War. The island's main road is the Ring Road. It's just shy of 20 kilometres long, which means that road trips are really only for people who are not confident drivers or really hate traffic lights. The island only has one set of traffic lights, and that's where the Ring Road crosses the runway. But hey, there's a fun sign there, and it's a good photo op as well if you're into travel porn. Right, so not really road tripping, but it's a great island for walking or cycling. The cycle tours take about 2 to 3 hours, and the island is walkable in around 6 to 7 hours. It does have some picturesque Pacific Island parts to it, including the very lovely Lake Buada, and it has also a tropical bird-filled jungle. However, the open mining of the phosphates has left a lot of the landscape bearing a kind of like a strange, jagged, kind of, some people described it as moon-like landscape, which makes it look very unlike any other island in the world, but not exactly luxury Pacific Island. But there are plenty of fun and touristic things to do on Nauru, but there's also another reason to visit the smaller republic in the world, and that's to learn. You know, climate change is a tepid topic around the world today. I mean, scientists continue to scream the warnings of climate change, and almost no one ever does anything about it. But maybe if a few more people visited Nauru, they could learn of the dangers of ignoring the environment and mortgaging their futures. Mining made Nauru rich for a while, but now the phosphates are gone, and so is the money. Instead, they no longer have land to farm. They no longer have the ability to be self-sufficient, and that is spreading obesity and diabetes and killing its population. The old mines are now open as tourist attractions. The old train line from the mine to the port is no longer in use. But in their place remains this kind of living reminder of the dangers and the consequences of not taking care of your planet. So, beaches, coral reefs, jungles, shipwrecks, and then cultural awakenings. As the least visited country in the world, the few travellers who go there may think they're going there to be unique, but if you look a little closer, you probably should go there because Nauru is unique, and I think it is important, and it offers something that not many places offer, which is a lesson and somewhere to learn. Well, I hope you enjoyed our itinerary for Nauru. Hopefully, fingers crossed, we're going to get more than 200 people there next year, and wish them all the luck. Next up, a word from our fake sponsors.